And I believe we've got to get started. And I heard somebody once say preaching was like flying an airplane. Getting off the ground and landing were the two hardest parts about it. If you could ever get up and fly for a little while, it was, and you fall in the arms of the Lord, it would be all right. But when it's time to come down, sometimes you may hit a little turbulence. And sometimes it's a little hard to land. But I believe that's the truth. We need the Lord's help this morning. Every time that we stand to preach the Word of God, we need the Lord's help. Acts, the 22nd chapter and the 22nd verse. And to give you a little context on what was taking place, Paul had been in Jerusalem and there had been some trouble. Paul, we know, had been formerly Saul and he had been changed on the road to Damascus and he had a testimony that he was wanting to tell. He'd been called to the gospel ministry and he had gone out and he began to tell people about this man named Jesus and about this salvation that he'd witnessed, that he'd experienced. And the people there didn't want to hear a thing in the world about it. They didn't want anything to do with a true salvation. They didn't want to know anything about it. So when Paul began to tell them about it, when Paul began to speak, it caused a great uproar. It caused a great problem there in the city of Jerusalem. So at this point, Paul had told his testimony, or was beginning to tell his testimony, and the crowd had gathered around and they said, you take him out of here, we don't want to hear anything more about it. So they grab him, the chief captain grabs him and he pulls him into a castle. And at this point, we're almost standing in the doorway, in the hallway of one of these castles, and this is the conversation that takes place because Paul was taken. They were going to take him and they were going to scourge him, or they were going to beat him for talking about what God had done for him. And that may seem like that's where I'm going this morning, but if the Lord will be our helper, we have a far different direction that we're going to try to go. But I have to get that set up so you understand why we are where we are. And this was a test of Paul's citizenship. And our thought this morning, and it's not going to make sense right now, but are we there yet? Are we there yet? So just stay with me. If it'll be the Lord's help, we'll get that thought covered with His help. But are we there yet is our thought this morning. But the 22nd verse says, "And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." So you got to realize they're talking about taking him and casting him away for telling his testimony. "And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air," so they're just having a big old time, they want to get rid of him, "the chief captain and commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." And then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yes, or yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum I obtained this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and accompanied the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set them before him. And as I told you, our thought is, are we there yet? And my premise for this is Paul's citizenship. You've got to realize what was going on. You can't take a man in this time period that was a Roman and beat him. You can't take him and try him in this way. You've got to give him an honest seeing about what he was doing. You can't take him and beat him and see if you can get the information out of him. You've got to go and you've got to make sure that you do things by the law. And if you don't do those things, you're in trouble. Well, they didn't know that Paul was a Roman. They just assumed that he was just from anywhere. But Paul was from Tarsus, which was in Rome, or in the Roman Empire at this time. And the thing that I want to get across this morning is, Paul told him, he said, or the chief captain said, "For a great sum I obtained this freedom," or "For a great deal of money I became a Roman citizen." But Paul said, "For I am freeborn." Now Paul was born into the Roman Empire, so he didn't have to pay anything to be a Roman.
Roman, but there was a lot of people that would have paid a great deal of money to be a Roman in that time. Rome was a great place. It had a lot of money. It had a lot of wealth. And it had a lot of power. And people wanted to be a part of Rome. But they couldn't have Paul. They couldn't take Paul, and they couldn't be him. So later on in different chapters, Paul would go before great men, great people that had a lot of power, because there was no way that they had the power over Paul at this point. And as I told you, this wouldn't make sense right now, but I believe if the Lord will help us, we'll understand why this citizenship is important. We'll understand this morning that yours and our citizenship, while it may be here in the United States of America physically, we are not of this world. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we have a citizenship that is far greater than just this nation. It lands in a far better place over on the other side. The citizenship that I have this morning, I value. If I'd have lived in this time, I'd have probably been happy to be a Roman because of the great wealth and the great power that was there. Oh, but this morning, I'm happy to be a citizen of the United States of America. I'm glad of that. We live in a country where we're some of the freest people that there ever has been. Now, things are changing day by day. Things are changing moment by moment. But I'm so glad this morning that no matter what happens to this world, that I have somewhere awaiting me when this life is over. Brothers and sisters, I'm not at home here anymore. There's an old song that we sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure's there laid up." And there's a part that says, "I can't feel at home here in this world anymore." And I believe that to be the truth. I believe this morning that none of us should feel at home in this world anymore. We're living in a time when things are not about God, they're not about Him, but they're about the things of this world. And brothers and sisters, we can't be at home here in this world anymore. My home down here is at 1589 George Taylor Road there in Franklin, Kentucky. My physical home. And here recently, actually before you all called me to pastor last year, before you all had ever asked, I began looking at apartments in this part of Nashville. I knew that God would lead me to be your pastor, and I knew He would eventually lead you all to call me, so I began to do my research. I began to try to find a new home in this world. And you know, people all down through the ages of time, they've been moving and they've been going different places for many, many years. There's been a lot of people that have been nomadic. They have gone from here, there, and yonder. And guess what? A lot of times when they left, they had no intention of going back home. Once they were gone from their home country, that was the last those people might ever see of them. But I'm going to say today, we're not at home here. We're not making our home in this life. We're not making our home by our citizenship in this country. But if we've been saved by the grace of God, we have a citizenship of a higher place. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have a home awaiting you someday after a while not made with human hands. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I want you to turn with me this morning to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The hall of faith, some might call it. Believe it to be the truth. A lot of people down through the ages of time have had to have some faith. They had to realize that there was somebody bigger in control. And the first verse says this, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now this morning, not a one of you have ever been to heaven. None of you. I've never been there. It says by faith. Or faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've never been to heaven, but I'm going. I've never seen it, but I know it's real. There's a lot of people today that don't believe in a literal heaven or a literal hell. I'm going to say today, I believe there is a literal place
have rejected the Son of God.
It will be their home someday. Well, if you're here today and lost, I want you to know this place that I'm preaching about, this heaven that I'm talking about, you'll never get there.
Oh, I believe you'll see it. I believe there's a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. And I believe those who are in hell can look over into the heavens and see all of the good things that are going on. But I believe this, I believe your comfort will never be.
Oh, but for those that have been saved, we're looking for a far better country. We're looking for a far better land than what we've got now. And someday, thank the Lord,
we're going to inherit the land of the living instead of being in the land of the dying. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
People look at the word hope and they say, hope means you might not.
Brothers and sisters, that's not what that hope means.
It means it's a very real thing that we've set our eyes on, we've set our goals on, and brothers and sisters, we're going by the grace of God if we've been fixed up.
That's that faith. When God saves a soul, He gives them assurance of a better home awaiting them someday after a while. It's the evidence of things not seen.
I've never seen it, but there sure are a lot of evidence that I can put together this morning and let you know that there is a place called heaven.
Number one, because the Lord tells us in His Scriptures, and a few weeks ago I preached about His return. And I believe He told us, why, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing upward? For this same Jesus that you saw go away shall return in like manner.
I believe He's going to come back. I still believe it as much then as I do now. But I believe for those that have been saved by the grace of God, we're going to a place that God has prepared for those that are justified
in His sight. It's going to be a place of peace and rest for all eternity.
You know, the children of Israel, when they were led out of captivity, they were promised Canaan land, or a land flowing with milk and honey. And there were a lot of people, and if we'll get to it, there were a lot of people that never got to see the land of Canaan. Maybe they aged up and they died out. They had to wander for 40 years before they ever got there.
But you know what God promised? That they'd get there. And the reason that I titled that this sermon this morning is, are we there yet? How many of you have ever been on a trip and you pulled out of the driveway and somebody said, are we there yet? Most of the time, I'm the cynical one that sits in the back seat, gets out of the driveway, and I say, well, are we there yet?
I love to travel. I love to go. I love to be on the road. I love to see things that I've never seen before. But I'm the one that I like to get there. I like to make the journey quick. I like to make sure that I'm going just as fast as I can go. 90 or nothing, I'm getting there and nothing's going to stop
me from making it. I'm going. That's just how there is to it. We go on vacation, and most of you all have been on vacations. And boy, the buildup to go is a great thing.
You're excited. You've planned it months in advance. You've got reservations made. And
boy, you sit around weeks and months at a time and you think, just a few months I'm going to be sitting on the beach. Or just a few months I'm going to be here or there.
Oh, and we look forward to it. There's a buildup to going on vacation. There's a buildup and going on trips.
But I want you to know something this morning. We're just pilgrims and strangers here. We're just on a journey.
This place that we have before us, it was never made to be permanent. It was made temporary. It was a place that was never meant to be a place that we would stay forever.
Brothers and sisters, we're just passing through.
While we're just on this road just a little while, and someday we'll inherit that new home.
Oh, and the first sight. Oh, when you're driving down the road and you're going to the beach, and you finally see the ocean, and it finally comes in view, it's a great thought to know that you finally made it there. But you know what sinks in right after that? Well, I've only got just a few days, and then I've got to go back home.
Boy, we forget about the things of this life for just a short little bit. We forget about the things that trouble us back at home. And boy, when you have to leave, it just about breaks your heart. You don't want to go, and maybe I'm a little bit different. When vacation's up, I'm ready to get back home. I'm ready to go back to where I belong. I'm ready to go back to sleep in my own bed at night. The old saying, there's no place like home, is the truth. Some people could stay on vacation all of the time, but when it's time to come home, it's time to come home. And brothers and sisters, we're headed home. Every one of us this morning that have been saved by the grace of God, we're headed home. Now some of you all will make it there before I do. I guarantee you. Some of you all will have run your earthly race. Paul told Timothy, I have fought a good fight and I have kept the faith. Therefore there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He knew that his time was ending. He knew that his life was coming to an end. And he said, Lord, I'm ready to go. Was ready to go home. He'd stay here as long as he wanted to stay. And he was ready to go. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about the rest of you all, but sometimes I get a little anxious to get over there. I get a little anxious to go and see those that have gone on before me, those that have been left behind, or those that have left us behind. A little anxious to see my loved ones. Get a little anxious to see those that I read about in the Bible. Get a little anxious to see my Jesus. And I'm going to tell you who's going to be the center of it all. It's not going to be the pearly gates. And it's not going to be the angels singing. But down at the center of heaven, I believe this with everything that I have, is there's going to be a man named Jesus that's going to be standing on his throne welcoming his children, his brothers and his sisters into the heavenly fold. I believe that. I believe more than anything, the only thing in that place that was created by the man, by men's hands, would be the scars in the hands of the Lord. Nothing there is going to tear up. Nothing's going to break. Nothing's going to disappoint us. There'll be no more dying, no more crying. The Bible says he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And brothers and sisters, we're just headed there. Each of us are going to a better country. I want to read some more scriptures in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I want you to realize something this morning. Everyone we read about, God had promised them something. And you know what? A lot of them never got to see their promise fulfilled. The Lord told Abraham, he said, you and Sarah, you'll multiply. And it will be more than the grains of the sands of the sea. You think he got to live to see that? Sure he didn't. But I'm convinced today that his promise is still being made perfect today. I believe he's still got descendants that are going out. God keeps his promises. And brothers and sisters, he gave them a promise as well. I believe everybody we're going to read about in these scriptures is in that heavenly country that's waiting on us. And I believe with everything that is within me, they weren't a bit upset when they were called out of this world and didn't get to see that promise fulfilled. I believe they knew that it would be. But they were looking for a better country. And we're going to read that if the Lord will help us. 8th verse says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Didn't know where he was going. By faith he sojourned or traveled in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want to say today, as I've already told you, when they left, the next time that they might be there in their home country was when they had died and their remains would be transferred back. Sometimes that would be the next time that they would go home. But Abraham, as he leaves, it says that he dwelled in tabernacles and he went in a strange country. He was going in places that he'd never been before. and he was dwelling in temporary places. The tabernacle would have been a place much like a tent. And when it says he was looking for a place with foundations and a place where God was, he was looking for some place that would be permanent. Now, every one of us today lives in a place that most likely has a permanent foundation. Every one of us that lives in this life creates lives here, and we build things. We build our lives around our homes and our families. We get cars and we get different riches that we might have. But all of those things, they are temporary. Everything that I've got has a time span on it. The car that I drive, it won't last forever. The house that I have, it won't last forever without doing a little work on it. It's all temporary. It's all made to not last. Everything is that way. This body that I have before you, it wasn't made to last. It was made and fashioned in sin. Job said, they were a few days and we're full of trouble. We're here just a few days and we're already committing sin. We're already fulfilling what the Lord would tell us that we would do. We would be fashioned in sin. Now this body that I have is just a temporary home as well. This old soul that I have just lives in a place of bones and a place of clay. It's not meant to stay there. It won't ever be there for long. It won't live there forever. This is temporary that I live in, this body that I have. But he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And it says in the 13th verse, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They'd been promised things. They never got to see them fulfilled, but they knew that they were coming. They could see them happening because God told them that they would happen. And were persuaded of them and embraced them. They knew it. They understood that God would be with them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Those are some beautiful verses of Scripture. It says that he's prepared a heavenly place. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be their God. A place that God has gone to prepare. Do you remember what he told those over before he was leaving? He said, I've got to go and prepare a place for you, that I am, that the place that I will be, that I may come again to get you. I've got to go and I've got to prepare a place. What do you think he's been preparing for all of those years? A place for you and I. A heavenly place. And I believe, and we've heard people talk about mansions that will be in heaven. I don't necessarily know what kind of mansion there'll be. Some people believe there'll be physical mansions that you'll see. I don't know what kind of mansion it'll be. But I'll tell you this about heaven. It's going to be perfect no matter what's there. Amen. It's going to be a place that we will have been longing for. You know, it's hard to long for something that you've never experienced. It's hard to want something if you've never had it. It's hard to realize something if you've never seen it. And we've never done any of those things to heaven. The Bible says that we can sit together in heavenly places. Now, can you just imagine if this life gives us just a glimpse sometimes of what heaven will be like? Can you imagine how much more heaven will be? There was a group of people over when this country was founded, and when it was being founded from England and people were coming over. There was a group of people that came from, I believe it was England. And they were a utopian society, and their great founder, he said, if we'll go to the new country, he took these verses literally, that heaven would be here on earth. And I'm going to contend this morning, there's no place on earth that will ever be like heaven will be. People are searching for heaven here, and they'll never find it. The closest that they will get is when they get saved by the grace of God and have felt His Spirit. That is the closest to heaven they'll ever get. But they came across the sea, and they came across in boats. And the leader kept telling them, when we get to the new country, why, it will be our heaven. We'll be able to be free from religious persecution. We'll be able to live the way that we want to live. And you know where that place is at today? It's a little place in Indiana. And the community no longer exists. The people no longer exist. The community is there. They flourished for a little while. They made it for a little while. But their heaven would not last. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to a country that will last forever.
Amen.
There'll be no end to heaven. Once we get there, it will be an eternal thing. Are you not glad this morning that there is a place where I won't need one of these anymore? One of those cell phones. We don't need those things anymore. Everybody that will ever need will be there. And guess what? There won't be one person there that's not supposed to be. Everybody that goes to heaven, I'm going to tell you, people want to know what are the requirements. And I want to get back to Paul and that Roman. I want to get back there. People want to know the requirements to go to heaven. People think that you can spend enough money, give enough money, and you'll go to heaven. I disagree. That Roman, that chief captain that was taking Paul, he said, I've obtained this citizenship with a great sum. But Paul said, I'm freeborn. We're freeborn if we've been saved by the grace of God. People are trying to buy their way into heaven, and it will not work. There's not a money price that you can pay to get to heaven. There's no way that any of us could ever buy our way into that place. No way. You must be born again. You've got to hold citizenship there in the United States of America. It's maybe a little different today in a lot of different ways, and I'm not here to discuss that. But there are people that come to this country and they look for a better country. They look for a place that they can call theirs. They can become citizens of the United States of America. And I'm going to say this today. There's a place called heaven that's made up of all kinds of different nationalities. But you know how they all came? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not a one that came a different way. They all had to come through the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
I ask you the question, are we there yet for this reason? We're started on this journey. Some of you are to different places. Some of you have been on the road a long, long time. And as we get older, and I've noticed this, and you say, preacher, you're just 23. Can you imagine how you'll be in a few years? No, I can't. But in the few years that I've been saved, every now and then, much like they do, I begin to get a desire for heaven. You may say, preacher, you want to die? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you today, I'm not running up and down the banks of the Jordan looking for a shallow place to cross over. But I'll say this, when the Lord is ready for me, I'm ready to go. This world has no hold on me anymore. This world has nothing that it can offer me that, guess what, I've probably not already seen. Sometimes I get longing to go home. You know, at the end of the vacation, you slept on one of them old hard hotel mattresses all week, and you're ready to go home. You're ready to be back in a place that is yours. You're ready to sleep in that bed. Brothers and sisters, I'm ready to go home and be with my Savior. I'm ready to go home. When God saved my soul, He made me ready to go. And I'm longing for it. And I'm looking forward to it. And I can't hardly wait until the Lord comes back and says, go get Him. He's ready. Go get Him and bring Him home. You said, preacher, you are just 23. You've got a long life to live. And sure I do, if the Lord would lead it that way. But I'm going to say today, home is not far away. Not far away from any of us. I'm going to read a few more scriptures here in just a moment, if the Lord will ever help her, about this place called heaven. And if it don't excite you this morning, if it don't make you want to go, I don't know that you have what I have. Because sometimes I get just a little glimpse of heaven. John, as he was writing the Revelation, he had been exiled to Patmos. And I believe he was carried away. He wasn't in this world. He wasn't seeing things that this world knew about. He was writing in a way that people then could understand it. But he was not telling about things that were of this world. He was not writing about things that you could see here. Oh, but he was talking about a place that was far better than what we have here. Oh, and I'm looking forward to going. Revelation's in the 21st chapter.
You say, preacher, are you going to Revelations again? There's a lot I don't understand.
But plain talk is easy understood. And I believe very much this morning that the Lord has prepared a place that is beautiful. If you want to read the entire 21st chapter of the book of Revelations, I encourage you to do so. It talks about a lot of things that will be there. A lot of beauty that will be there. And I'm going to say, I love to think about how beautiful heaven is going to be. The Bible says it will be just a beautiful, grand place. I've already told you that it will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And you can find that verse of Scripture in the fourth verse here in this chapter. But my favorite part of all of it, and I believe you can find us starting our reading in the 22nd verse. I love church. I do. If you know me very well at all, you know there's no place I'd rather be than here with you all. I could be here every day. I wish I could be here every day. I love to be in the presence of God's people. Love to be in His church. But someday we're not going to need the church anymore. She'll be betrothed to her husband, Jesus. Oh, and she'll be dressed in white array. She'll be beautiful. But she'll not have the job that she has here anymore, teaching and preaching to lost souls about them getting saved. That work will be completed. Won't have to worry about that anymore. The 22nd verse, and it says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, the people that are saved, shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be, and there shall in no wise enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I told you about Paul's citizenship being in Rome. I'm going to tell you today, you can be a citizen of any nation that you want to be. Can be. There's tests that you can take. You can go be a citizen of any one of them. And you can have your name in any of those roles that you want to. But the one that you'd better have your name in, the place that you had better have citizenship, is in the Lamb's book of life. It better be there. If it's not there, you'll be cast off into a devil's hell. Brothers and sisters, my citizenship is there. My home is there. My eternal home is there. I told you when I moved down here, when I began to know that I was going to be coming down here, I began to look at apartments. I'll probably make a few more moves in this life. Some of you all will not move again. You're settled where you are and you'll never move from your home that you have here. But someday you'll move again. And you won't need a U-Haul to come and get you. You won't need the Packers to put things in boxes and tape them up. You won't need that. The only thing that you'll need is the Lamb's blood been applied to your soul. That's all. And if it's not there, you'll not make it. You'll not enter into this place where there's no temple and God lights the city with His glory. you'll not be there. You may move. Here, if people have moved, while people have moved all over this globe, I've lived, I counted up last night, I've lived in about 6 different houses or 6 different places while I've been here. And I would say I'll probably almost double that by the time my earthly course is finished. But someday I'll not move again. I'll be there for eternity. Are we there yet? No, we're not. But we're headed that way. The Bible says that straight is the way. We're all that have been saved, we're on the road. Many of you are ahead of me. Some of you are behind me. The best thing about it, me and Brother Coleman, we're talking about this morning. Not one of us knows when our day will end. None of us. We don't know when the Lord will call us out of here. But what we do know is that the Lord will take us out of here someday after a while. And blessed be the name of the Lord. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we have a better place waiting us. And for those that will die and go to hell, oh, they have a sad, sad day awaiting them. I want everybody to go with me to heaven. I want everybody. I don't want not one person to leave this world in a lost condition. I want everyone to be saved by the grace of God. I want to leave you with one verse of Scripture and then I'm going to close. Are we there yet? No. In the book of Philippians, Philippians, the third chapter. For those of us that have been saved, we can say this. Philippians 4 and 20. For our conversation, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the best part. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working there whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. For our conversation, our citizenship, and that's what that word means, our conversation is in heaven. Just a few years ago, we had a Bible school. And it said, I believe the title of it was, Choose You This Day. And it had Jesus or the world. Well, I'm going to ask you this day, and I believe that salvation is more than just a choice. I believe that with everything that's within me. But you've got 2 choices ahead of you. You've got heaven, and you've got hell. Where will you spend in eternity? Eternity's not going to have an end. Eternity will last forever. And I'm thankful this morning that I have a better place to go. Are we there yet? Sure we're not. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're headed toward that heavenly country that Abraham... Actually, I want to read just one more verse of Scripture. I promise I'll be done with this. I meant to read it and I didn't. It's very beautiful. It's in Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Just missed over it. But I want to leave you with it. 36th verse says this, And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They promised a lot of things, but they received it not. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. People have been tried and tested, and guess what? They just kept on looking to the Father. I think about old Stephen. He looked up to the right hand of the Father, and who did he see? He saw Jesus. They were stoning Him to death and He knew just exactly where He was going. The thief on the cross. He said, remember me today in paradise. He knew. He knew there was a better place. I know there's a better place. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, rejoice, for there's a better place awaiting us. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand and while we sing.